Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, appreciate that, Reggie and Lopez. The drive is live. I apologize, boy. That time just got away. I looked up and it was 58. I said, "Damn!"
I came back from going pee, and I was like, "I was surprised to see y'all in that prep studio."
It was probably like, "Dang, I guess these guys don't want to have crosstalk today."
did hurt my feelings a little bit. I'm gonna be honest.
No, it's all right, man. I appreciate that, Reggie, for your honesty. You know, we should be able to share with each other. When it hurts our feelings. I hope you got Figgy more than a gift card. All right. That is Clint. You hear there. Tyler Milner, you hear as well. And the drive is live. And like Reggie said, a lot to get to. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. We'll carry that in full coming up a little bit later on in this hour. So hang and ride out and listen to the head coach as he is going to be speaking about the major news of the day, which we will throughout. As well, and that is Nico Collins, who is being placed on IR. And I guess Sean Pendergast did not get his wish. Sean Pendergast said, all I was hoping and wishing was that he wouldn't be placed on IR.
Not good, Sean.
Oh, they had to place him on IR. But we'll hear the latest from the head coach. We'll also hear from C.J. Stroud as well as Brandon Scott in the 4 o'clock hour. C.J. in the 3 o'clock hour. Brandon Scott is there. At practice, seeing who was all there, and to hear from everybody talking about the big news with Nico Collins. But that is where we start here on the drive. Nico Collins, he goes to IR, caught that long touchdown pass, and he immediately left, did not return with that hamstring. Hamstrings has been an issue for Nico in his 3 years here. I know he missed some time last year with an issue with a hamstring as well. But he is on IR, Clint. So he will be missing at the very least the next four games, obviously this week at New England, then at Green Bay in Lambeau. He'll miss that one. He'll miss the home game against the Colts, and then he'll miss the road game October, Halloween against the Jets. So those are the next four, actually, and behind that it's the Lions here and then at Cowboys. So we'll see.
That Colts game, man, that kills me.
Yeah,
because he's such a Colt killer.
He's such a Colt killer.
It's a killer. Bit of a tongue twister.
He's been a killer of them all, to be honest with you. Yeah. So this will be a big one. All right, Clint, I do want to get your thoughts when you saw that come down. But first, I'm wondering, man, you think this is just a 4 week injury? I've heard you talk about these hamstrings a lot and how concerned you are. How long has Damian Pierce been out? Well, he's at practice today, but Damian Pierce has missed four straight games with this hamstring situation, and they didn't even place him on IR. They have immediately put Nico Collins on IR with the hamstring, so that means he misses four. It could be more than that, but the hope is this is a four-week injury, but as we've seen, we see with Christian Harris how long he's been out. Doesn't sound like he's close, and obviously we're seeing Damian Pierce dealing with a hamstring situation as well. The hope it's just 4 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be. I have no clue the severity of it. But the I love the way that the Texans are handling it. I love the way that, hey, once that little tweak in practice that they got through for a couple of games, once it turned into something a little bit bigger in a game on a monster touchdown, long touchdown, explosive touchdown, in a day and age when there's two safeties on the roof, man, I can't believe they got one. But there's you know, they just immediately get him out of the game. They don't try to push it, and they immediately go, okay, we're going to put him on IR, and we're going to get this thing well over 4 weeks. The week-to-week thing and trying to push it when you shouldn't, just shelve the guy, get him right, so the next time that he's on the field, as you mentioned, when Detroit comes around and when Kansas City comes around and when the Dallas Cowboys come around, you've got at least your top receiver, one of the best receivers in the NFL, you've got him available. So
weak-ass Cowboys.
I don't know the severity of it. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I do know that I like the way that they're handling it. Let's just put him on a shelf for a month and get this thing right.
Yeah, the severity of it, I wondered, boy, if their immediate action here, they're putting him on IR, is that a sign that this is obviously, you know, not just a mild one, that they want to knock out. Hopefully that is the case. But you're right, they've got some games obviously down the stretch and to get him right. All right, so that's there. He's got to miss at least four games. We'll see and maybe potentially hear from D'Amico Ryans on the severity of it. I would assume probably not. But what was it that came to mind for you when you saw this? You're not surprised. We knew he's probably going to at least miss a couple of games. Yeah. But now this, where did your mind turn, Clint, when you saw there's going to be no Nico Collins for at least the next 4 weeks?
Well, one thing we discussed briefly yesterday and one thing that we have – discussed consistently since the run game disappeared at the Indianapolis Colts game. It's tank time. This is why you go and get Steph Diggs. This is why you re-sign Dalton Schultz. This is why that you have the deep receiver room that you have, is so that when you do lose the most productive wide receiver in the game to date, you now have the most targeted wide receiver in the game over the last 5 years, 6 years, whatever, however long it was with Stephon Diggs, and you got one of the more explosive, versatile wide receivers in the game today. I don't know about the best that they keep trying to push out there. I ain't ready to go there yet with Tank. But definitely super explosive, super versatile, a guy that is on the verge of kicking the door in of being one of the better wide receivers in this game. Got to stay healthy, got to continue to make plays. Small sample size last year was really good, but I think it's tank time, baby. I think this is one of those games where one thing Bobby Slowick seems to have done last week was shift from Nico time to tank time in the second half. There were a couple of little wrinkles thrown out there. And then, you know, in the past, talking about last year, I think one thing that Bobby Slowick did really, really well was he incorporated Tank into the offense more so last year than it seems like he has this year. I don't know how much the injuries had to do with it. I don't know how much the lack of preseason and lack of work together in the preseason had to do with it. I don't know. But to date right now, we haven't seen the offense highlight Tank Dell the way it did last year. And so I think first and foremost, it's tank time. And they need to get this run game going, man. Once you get a run game going, whether it's Mixon or Damian Pierce or, hell, whoever, get the run game going, and you can weather this storm significantly better than if you've got to drop CJ back 50 times a game to try to keep up with somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you say tank time, because clearly, obviously, you know, he did miss a game in there, but his production has been different. It has not been the same,
yep,
same guy that he was last year. And a lot of it is you can look at it and say, Nico Collins is a leading receiver in the NFL. He's been the most productive guy in the NFL. When you say tank time, we've seen a lot of gadget stuff. Is this more, hey, what we saw last year, down the field stuff, this crossing routes, or is this something like we're going to make it an emphasis? Because that's something I think you pointed out. It don't seem like it's been an emphasis to get him the ball. It don't seem like, all right, he's the first read. It seemed like that was a deal at some point right before he got hurt last year. There were arguments. Who's the number one receiver? Is it Tank or is it Nico?
Yeah.
And I just wondering what tank time looks like on the field.
Well, I think it looks like what Nico time has been to date. I mean, I know it's cliche, but the truth of the matter is they don't have enough damn footballs to go around. You come into the season and for the first month it's been, all right, we got to try to run the football. They've tried to do that. It's not been good. They did it good for one game and then, okay, what about let's drop back and throw it? Well, now we're going to be a little bit more aggressive, so we're going to ask our offensive line to protect a little bit more. The protection has been very, very suspect at times. So CJ's been on the move. So I don't know that they've really had time or any extended sample size to really feature anybody, to be completely honest with you. But I know when things get tight and you need a play, it was go to Nico. Now I believe it is go to Tank. I think he is that player moving forward. When you talk about creating separation, when you talk about a guy that can win right now, immediately when the ball snapped, I think he's your best bet. I love Stephon Diggs. I think Stephon Diggs has got a lot left on a lot of tread left on the tire. But I think right now, your win now guy, your bunch guy to get the ball in open space, your screen guy, get the ball with blockers in front. That is Tank Dell moving forward. And as I said yesterday, I can get real jazzed up for that, man. I think it's a different look than Nico, but a same approach of We got to feature that guy. We got to highlight that guy. We got to give him chances to win. And then we've seen it, not this year, but we've seen the chemistry that Tank and CJ have when plays break down and when CJ has to extend a play. We've seen Tank be a real, real weapon there. So I think it looks very similar to what we've seen CJ do with Nico, what we've seen Bobby Slowick do with Nico in terms of feed him the football and the others just kind of eat throughout four quarters. I think you see Tank fed the football and the others continue to kind of eat around him through four quarters.
Yeah, you go with Tank. You're saying Tank, and I'm with you. His production has to pick up because that's the thought. If we see what we saw last year, they should be able to hold it together. But according to Aaron Wilson, he said they are going to lean more on Stephon Diggs in the passing game, right? They're going to go there.
Sure, I'll take
and
it.
That route. And you could see both. To me, the thought is both of them. Like, I don't know one of them is going to go and do what Nico
correct.
Was able. I don't know that one of them is going to, over the next 4 weeks, have the 4 weeks that Nico had, the 4 weeks in whatever plays. So they've just got to figure out and use the weapons they have. And I do think Diggs is a guy that now jumps up to become maybe the primary, maybe the guy who gets the most targets in a game.
Diggs was open.
Or trying to maybe get going early. But I agree with you. Tank Dell has to make a difference right now at this point. You talked about the run game as well. As someone texted in, is there another Kareem Hunt on the count somewhere? Listen, I don't know if you've heard us, or especially not me. If you don't trust me, if you've not heard Clint, like I don't know that this is a Kareem Hunt thing or a different person off the streets thing. And I know, and so my guy here, who's been my number one hater since I've arrived, has texted in about Derrick Henry too. Listen, Derrick Henry and Kareem Hunt would not look the way that you're seeing them look behind this offensive line and what they're doing.
And that's before you even talk about the money aspect.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that especially Derrick Henry, he's clearly better than any of them. But they wouldn't, those guys, which you saw Monday night, I don't know that Kareem Hunt would look like that in this offense. And Derrick Henry, I think, obviously would be better than Cam Akers and Damian Pierce and, hell, everybody. But he wouldn't be, I don't think that he would be leading the NFL in rushing if he had been running behind this offensive line. So I understand your visual and say, damn, you say that. I do it a little bit too when I see Saquon Barkley, who's the number one guy that I want. But I don't think Saquon Barkley would look like this behind this offensive line and this group. It's got to be the cats up front. The five and then the extension of the six and the seven of the tight ends and the fullbacks. It's got to be those guys. Those guys have got to give. Clint's been talking about this for now going on 2 years. Like, y'all could talk about the running backs. Y'all can talk about the different schemes or whatever. Like, they're just not creating holes except for the one game against the Colts. And it's got to be those guys up front that give these guys a chance, because they don't have a chance. You're just not going to shake defensive tackles and linebackers coming free in the hole, 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, there's way too much of the offensive line. Like, there's one run play where Shaq Mason literally looks like he's pass protecting. Like, I mean, you're getting pushed back into the lap of the running back. There's no movement the other direction. Sure, you're going to pop one every now and then. Sure, if Joe Mixon was in there, if Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley were in there, would you get the two or three runs a game where they make something out of nothing? And, hell, maybe it's a 50-yard run. Yeah, possibly. You're definitely missing that caliber player at the running back position. But when it's all said and done, this offensive line has got to make up their mind, which I don't know how you do that when you don't practice, by the way, but we'll get there. They have to make up their mind that they're going to be more physical up front.
Yeah. Speaking of,
and I don't know. I'd be honest with you. I don't know that it's a good time to decide that, or at least to try to figure out if your guys have this football team.
Yeah. To your point, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, both off of practice today. The two tackles, so adds more to your thoughts. All right, we are going to hear from D'Amico Ryans. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. I would predict, fellas, that D'Amico is going to sound very, very positive in the situation and going to sound like, hey, I got huge belief in the guys. We got the dudes. He rattled off some of the weapons earlier this week. We got, you know, Stephon Diggs. We've got Tank Dell. We've got Dalton Schultz. We've got Xavier Hutchinson. He's going to sound positive, but behind closed doors, as they sit and try to game plan this thing and understand they're going to be without him for at least the next 4 weeks, he's going to sound extremely confident, I predict, when we hear from him about this. Behind closed doors, how do you think he's really feeling? What do you think the real conversations are losing their absolute number one weapon and the number one receiver he has been in the NFL through the first 5 weeks?
Well, there's never a good spin on that. I mean, clearly right. The head coach, everybody's going to miss Nico. But I will tell you this. I mean, I've just, ever since he looked me and you dead in eye and very confidently said, I'm not worried about the receiving core. At the time, we thought Robert Woods was the best guy on the team. And then we move forward, and Tank Dell would have had a 1,000-yard season had he not been injured, and Nico Collins comes out of nowhere. I really do believe that in this particular situation, I believe that D'Amico is rather calm given the circumstances.
So you think it'll be how he comes across?
Yeah, I think it's real. Like, I think he would have come across like last week with the how thin the linebacker group is with no Azeez Al-Shaair. I think he was messing. He was
nervous.
He was a bad problem. He was nervous.
This one, the receiving core, he feels.
You got to look yourself in the mirror, Ron, and go, hey, man, I got a guy that's been all pro recently. I've got Tank Dell, who's one of the most explosive. I've got a $12 million tight end, man. I got two tackles that are two of the higher paid tackles in the game, man. Let's go to work, man. Like, you got to feel, as a head coach, you got to feel like you've done all you can do to be able to survive this Nico storm, or no Nico storm, for a month. I mean, you got to feel like you've done enough. I think right now, and we'll see how he feels after the games when it all unfolds, but I think right now he's probably a lot more confident than one would think, given that the most productive wide receiver in the NFL is
with
out
this,
for a month.
This position group is built as one of their strong ones.
Yes, man.
Right,
yes,
and I think he likes Xavier Hutchinson. I think they like Xavier Hutchinson.
I think they really like Robert Woods.
And they like Robert Woods, but then there's John Metchie as well. So, like, we'll see what they do there. But I tend to agree with you. He ain't thrilled that he's losing Nico for the next 4 weeks. But I don't think he's as nervous as he would be at other positions. I think the confidence that he will give off will be what he's closer to feeling behind closed doors. All right, coming up, they're going to have to give it a go without Nico Collins coming up on Sunday against a team that they should, I think, whoop. Highly, highly favored over the New England Patriots, starting a rookie quarterback. There are very clear expectations. There's only one right answer when it comes to expectations for the Texans in this game. You ain't got to be scared. They ought to beat the brakes off these boys. We'll discuss that coming up next.
That's weight room right there, baby.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. However you are taking us in, YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you. I see Champ Slice is trying to start some kind of conversation on here. What kind of pizza you'd like, Chicago style, Detroit style, or New York style? I really enjoy reading some of the conversations that are had on YouTube and Twitch. That ought to be a fun discussion for you all to have. Go ahead and do your thing on that. Those of you listening to us on Sports Radio 610, the Odyssey app, we appreciate you joining us. And to get right to it, Clint, coming up, they have this game on Sunday, and yes, they are dealing with some injury things. Damian Pierce did return to practice. Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil did not practice today. Jimmy Ward with a groin did not practice today. And Joe Mixon remains out of practice with that ankle. But they've got some injury things. We'll see who is all available to play on Sunday. But C.J. Stroud is alive and well. D'Amico Ryans is alive and well.
God bless, brother.
Bobby Slowick is alive and well. Danielle Hunter, Stingley, Will Anderson, the gang, they're alive and well. Steph Diggs, Tank Dell, they're alive and well. People keep talking about the rat poisoning. I know that D'Amico was answering questions about that Monday. Damn that. I don't want to hear none of that. The Texans, and I expect the Texans to beat the living hell out of the New England Patriots. This game shouldn't be close.
We ain't laying down for nobody.
I know many of you have been saying, hey, you know, you've been saying the deal of, hey, the Texans are finding ways to win. Like,
gritty wins.
And it's real. I'm not saying there's nothing against that, especially against a Buffalo team like that. But you know y'all should have waxed the Bears. You've seen the Colts play a little bit. It shouldn't be that tight. See, Jacksonville shouldn't have been that tight at home. This is a game that you should blow the doors off of. What do you say? Skull drag their asses up and down the entirety of New England. Run them from Connecticut to Rhode Island, all up and down Massachusetts. Should beat the brakes off of this team. They are starting a brand new rookie quarterback. You have a top five defensive mind, and he's got the tools to be able to use to go and work Drake Mays. This thing shouldn't be close. You've won all your four games. You're 4-1. The first four games that you've won by a total of 15 points. You ought to beat the hell out of the Patriots by more than 15 points. I don't want to hear the rat poison thing. I don't want to hear the trap game. I saw somebody texting in the trap game. Ain't no trap game. That ain't no trap game. This is a beat the break. This is a team that has Super Bowl, AFC Championship game aspirations. They shouldn't be on the same floor with you, Nico Collins, or not.
Oh no!
So
hell,
that
no.
to me is an expectation, Clinton. I'll be very disappointed if the post-game show, you and Sean are talking about a tight ball game.
Yeah, I mean, look, it just depends on what your expectations are for the Texans in general and what your expectations are for the Texans versus the Patriots. Here's the reality of it. By the way, 713-572-4610, what are your expectations this week versus the Patriots?
Only one right answer.
Look, here's the reality. For me, it's a question of, do you play down to your opponent? Or do you go in there with this standard that D'Amico Ryans has set in this organization, and do you play the best Texans football that we've seen to date? That's what this boils down to. You continue to play football the way you played football for 5 weeks, this is going to be a ball game in the fourth quarter. They're going to run the football well. They're going to play good defense. They're not going to allow you to run the football. They are going to throw multiple looks at you. It's going to confuse your offensive line. Protection's going to be rough. They got some dudes up front that can both stop the run and rush the passer. Gerard Mayo's a really good defensive mind. They're literally going to throw different coverages, different fronts, all kind of different crap at you. And do you allow that to frustrate you? Do you allow that to get home? Or do you go in there and play again that to whatever the Texans standard is, which I believe is one of the top teams in the AFC? This is that ball game for me. Prove that you're not a team that's going to play down to Carolina. Prove that you're not a team that's going to play down to Atlanta. Prove that you're a team that
they're
is
not that team no more, are they?
I don't know. I mean, look, this it's been ugly this year, Ron. It's been ugly.
They're not even Atlanta, man. They're not working.
Penalties have been a major issue. I thought we were cleaning things up last week. We did for one half. Come out in the third quarter, 6 penalties for 55 yards or something like that. It was a disaster in the second half. You went right back to who you had told us you were for 4 weeks. And so the penalties have been an issue, right? Stopping the run last week in that third quarter was an issue. Running the football has been an issue against everybody except for the Colts week one. That protection has been suspect. It wasn't just that daunted Bears front that got to us. We thought, you know, Colts week was good. Then you get the Bears, and the Bears week was one of those where, boy, they got a really good front. They got some horses up there. Okay, it's going to be a tough day. And then all of a sudden, Minnesota makes you struggle. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's just one after another where, and it seems like it's sporadically. It's not consistently. It's sporadically when things go south. And so I would like to think that right now at 4-1, the Texans are a team. They're going to go in there, going to clean up the things they had issues with last year. They're going to continue to get better in that penalty category. They're going to get better, find some answers in the run game, and you're going to go up there and do what you said, double-digit skull drag of the Patriots. You should. You should. You absolutely should, yes. But I'm telling you, it's if you go in there with the same bull jive that they've been showing through 5 weeks, it's going to be a game in the fourth quarter. And the scary part about that is you got Drake May, who's over there, one play. One getaway with them legs, he can change the game in the fourth quarter and get him in field goal range. With that arm, big arm, dude can throw it to the moon and back. One play, scramble around back there and sling it over the top. I'm just telling you.
I'm just, Clint Tyler, if Drake May has to make one play in the fourth quarter to keep him in the game,
the worst Josh Allen you've ever seen needed one play in the fourth quarter last week.
It will not be a good night.
Yeah, but this ain't Josh Allen.
And
this,
I mean, it's, I mean, 9-for-30, Josh Allen.
I mean, it's 9-for-30, but this is a Buffalo team that has other things outside.
Chief, I'm with you, man. I'm just telling you.
A New England Patriots team.
Ron, if you said this yourself Monday, if I'd have told you, hey, man, this Buffalo team's just coming here and Josh is going to be 9-for-31, man. You'd have thought the Texans ran away with that and won that damn game 41-10.
What?
And it took the best ball we've seen all year long from special teams and defense at the end to get a field goal. I'm telling you, if they don't, this is one of those play down or play to the Texans standard. That's what this game's about for me.
If they don't have enough points on the board to where Drake May's got to make two or three plays in the second half. Like, I mean, this feels to me, Tyler, like a 30-10 ball game.
Oh, it should be.
This feels like a 30-28-34.
From jump to
crazy,
right?
Slowly Jets. Creep the away. Crazy Jets won 24-3. They were just getting it together.
Yeah.
The 49ers, which is around the level you're supposed to be in, without McCaffrey, without their best offensive weapon, I think they won 33-15.
This is not your daddy's New England Patriots. Go up there and take care of business.
So what did someone text in? A win is a win. This is the NFL.
Well, yeah.
5-1.
Who said that isn't true?
A win is a win. This is the NFL. I don't care if the Texans win 3-0. 5-1 is perfect.
I mean, ultimately, well, I think we all agree to an extent, dude. Well, but come on now.
First off, 5-1 is not perfect. 5-1 is a one. And 3-0. If they walk 3-0. If this is a 3-point ball game, if this is a one score game,
I will be
sorely disappointed in the Texans. Sorely disappointed in the Texans. That's not Belichick over there scheming it up. That's Belichick over there. I might think, man, maybe Belichick could get himself going. I mean, come on now. It's got to be better.
Pretty
than
good defense. Did. I mean, you're right. That's your points, right? It's not Belichick. You're correct. top 10 defense.
They don't work over these dudes. I just can't accept it. All right, coming up, we'll hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he will speak to the media. We'll get hopefully hear the latest on a lot of these injuries, including Nico Collins, who was just placed on IR. The head coach comes.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's get right down to it. Let's head to NRG and hear the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he is addressing the media.
What does this change about your offense and obviously a unique player, hard to replace?
Yeah, I'm fortunate that we'll, not have Nico. Great player, has been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season, and it's like always in the NFL, there's always injuries that happen in our game, and it's opportunity for other guys to step up and make the most of their opportunity. That's what the league is about. A lot of guys who have stepped in when other guys were out and made a name for themselves and made some big plays in the league. So we're looking for the same thing for whoever it may be. Guys just owning their opportunity.
Where you all at with Joe Mixon? I know you were a little unsure about whether he could play or practice. Do you think he could practice at this point this week?
We'll continue to see how Joe does throughout the week.
The majority of the snaps with Nico being out, what have you seen from him starting from training camp up till now?
Yeah, Hutch has definitely gotten better through from training camp through now till now. He made two big catches for us in the game this past week. And he's done a great job blocking what we asked of him in the running game. He stepped up and blocked well there. So, you know, he's maximized his opportunities as he's continuing to show growth and continuing to get better. So expect the same thing from him.
What about Damian Pierce? Saw him out there moving today. What are you seeing from him?
Yeah, excited to have Damian back at practice. He's done a great job with his rehab process, and he's back out working. So we're expecting to have him ready to go for the game.
Nico, do you expect it to be the minimum four games, or could it be longer?
Oh, I'm not getting into all that. We'll see where we end up.
Coach, what have you seen? They're starting Drake May this week. The Patriots are starting Drake May. Have you been able to see some of the things on film, some of the plays that he's made on film?
Yeah, for Drake, what I've seen is a young athletic quarterback who has a live arm, can move around really well in the pocket, can escape the pressures. Like, I think he, you know, for them making that move, looking for a spark for their offense, and, you know, he can provide it. He can make all the reads, go to the right spot, makes good decisions with the football. So defensively, you know, there's a lot of unknown with this being his first start, so a lot of unknown for us. We just have to go out and execute, you know, our job the proper way. Not so much about them and focusing on what they're going to do or can do. They can do a lot of different things. You know, we don't know that, so we're just going to focus on ourselves and making sure we execute the details of our job.
I mean, is that the difficulty in facing a quarterback that you don't have much film on? The fact that there is an unknown and how they would use him?
Yeah, we just have to execute. It's really not about them. It's more so about us.
But are there different things you do when it's you're an inexperienced rookie as opposed to like a very veteran quarterback?
We'll play our defense. It won't change.
On that defense, you've been playing two corners and two linebackers a lot. No Lasser today. You feel comfortable about the depth at cornerback if he's not able to go?
Yeah, I feel great about the depth of our entire team. At the end of the day, that's, you know, why guys are in the roles they're in. That's why guys are in the league. Like, and everybody understands the importance of their role, and you can always be called on to step up and play in a game. So our guys are prepared. They prepare the right way. They work really hard at it. So I'm excited to see, you know, a lot of different guys step up this week.
People have talked about having the utilization of Stephon and Tank and another depth at receiver, but also Dalton Schultz at tight end. The ability to have that veteranship across the middle of the field, what does that do when you lose a player such as Nico Collins?
Again, it goes back to whoever, like whatever we call, whatever plays we have designed for this particular week, right? It's about us operating efficiently as an offense, right? And it's never about one player. And Nico, of course, he made a lot of big plays for us, and we're going to miss, you know, his explosive plays that he made down the field. But it's just, like I say again, I keep saying this, who's next, right? Who's going to step up? Who's going to make those plays? We'll see.
You guys bringing him back. I know you said when camp was over, you wish you could keep everybody. What about him made you want to bring him back?
Yeah, for Tegan, you know, it was tough. We had a lot of guys that we wanted to keep, and I truly meant that at the cut down day. A lot of guys wanted to keep Tegan. Unfortunately, you know, we couldn't keep him at that time, and you know, we had an opportunity here with Brooks being out, so we had an opportunity to bring Tegan back. So excited to get him back. And he, you know, for me, it's having guys who we've worked with before. They understand, you know, how we work. They understand our scheme, and they can just fit right in very smoothly. And Tegan is one of those guys. Also added Kadar Holman, which is one of those guys as well. So excited to see guys we've had get right back in and fit right back in. And it's like they've been here before. It's nice, easy. It's good to see those guys back, smile on their face, and they're excited to be back. That's what's the most important thing.
With Ole Fotokasi, what have you seen from him in terms of instincts, finding the ball, doing things to make plays, and also as a big man, move well?
Foley, like you said, he's been a big man, and they're playing big for us in the run game. Also, just his effort to the football. He's made a lot of effort plays kind of go unnoticed. One of the biggest plays he made in this game this past week was a play on the screen. He had a really big hit towards their sideline. It just shows, Like, it's not just all about stopping the run. We know he can do that and play big for us, but his effort sideline to sideline, his ability to make those plays, right, really pumps up our defense, right? Everybody thrives off the energy that he shows when he makes those plays.
You've had a lot of guys develop and get better, but with Toa, as a former linebacker, is there like an extra maybe like sense of pride that you can kind of relate to the position he's playing when you see a linebacker progress as compared to another position?
Not really an extra pride for the linebacker spot. It's just for me as a coach, it's for all of our guys, you know, on our team. We talked about Xavier Hutchinson earlier, Henry, like just many guys who are continuing, Kenyon Green, like to see so many guys just show that growth and improvement. That's what I'm about as a coach, is just developing players, not just linebackers, all players. So I'm encouraged to see their growth and to see guys, right, do what a lot of people say they can't do, right, and to show people that they can play and play well for us.
There's a growing number of former players who played not that long ago that are head coaches now. You and Jerron Mayo would be one of them. You see, I know it's a short time in his head coach career, but do you see anything similar to the way he approaches things, that maybe the way you approach things, that's different from older coaches that have been around for a while and then maybe didn't play?
One thing I could say for Mayo is his team is prepared. This is a really good football team. He's done a great job of having the guys prepared, ready to go. They've been in a lot of tight games, right? Probably should have won the game there versus the Dolphins. I know they're thinking that. So, and they play physical, right? You see that mindset, the way they run the football, both backs, O-line, like the way their backs finish, the way they break tackles, like you can see that physical mindset that team is portraying, and their defense has been really one of the top defenses in the league. They're going to make you earn it. Like, they're going to make you – they're going to strain. They're going to make you, right, really work to get points against this defense. So, you know, despite their record, I can see his imprints all over this team with their physicality, their mindset, and the way they're playing football.
Nico, one of the breakout players for New England is Christian Gonzalez, their cornerback. What have you seen from him and his growth? And do you remember any of that watching his film coming out of Oregon during the pre-scouting?
Yeah, Christian's – tall, athletic corner, and seeing him and his, I mean, he has the athletic ability, all the traits are off the charts with him, size, length, corner, just seeing him, like his instincts showing up, like his ability to make plays on the football. You can see leaving a lot of one-on-one matchups, and he's able to, you know, make plays in those situations. So he's doing a really good job for them.
Anybody else? Last one, DJ.
Obviously, you know, Nico being out, how important will it be for you guys to kind of get Tank going and getting more involved to make him kind of look like how he did last year, where he was a pretty dynamic, explosive player for you guys?
Yeah, for us, again, losing Nico, everybody has to get going. And so we need everybody, right? Everybody has to step up and own their role. So we'll see who that'll be for Sunday. We don't know right now today who's going to make those plays. You never know. And that's what's exciting about our game. Any given Sunday, different guys being playmakers, stepping up, making plays.
Thanks,
all right, thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, that's head coach D'Amico Ryans as he got to the podium and spoke about a few things. There's a couple of things that he said, I think a couple of newsworthy things he said, and we'll talk through some of that on the other side and what caught our ears, especially what he had to say about Damian Pierce, and some more on the big news. There is a positive side to me, a clear positive side out of the situation that is a tough one with Nico Collins going on IR. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.